Righto, good afternoon everybody. Thank you for coming for short notice. This is just an update press conference, just to carry on from matters that we raised this morning. Welcoming Julia Peters from Auckland. Format today, three issues, an update on the numbers, in particular the Middlemore passengers, from the Director General. Then Dr. Fran McGrath, the Deputy Public Health Official, is going to talk about surveillance systems that are operating. And then finally, I'll just give you a quick couple of words about the Order in Council, Director General.
Well, thank you. Well, look, just to update again in terms of the numbers which we talked about this morning, to confirm again that we had the 11 from Rangitoto plus the additional Rangitoto student which came through. We had a further patient from NZ1 and an additional case which Julia Peters talked to when she was first introduced this morning, making a total of 14 confirmed, and we have 5 suspect. We can also update you in relation to a question was made this morning about the results of the 4th test. Remember last night we had 3 confirmed and we were unable to confirm the 4th. They were Melbourne Lab was working on that. Melbourne have been able to confirm that so because of the level of matter in the sample size, so we don't have a definitive result in relation to that 4th test. But as we reported to you last night, we consider that student to be confirmed, along with the rest of those that were showing symptoms in that party. So that case has been counted as part of the 14. Just moving to some other developments, there have been, of the passengers coming into the country, we do have some passengers who have been or are being put into isolation. These are passengers in transit through New Zealand, overseas passengers. There were some 5 passengers who were exhibiting some mild symptoms, and accommodation is being arranged for those people, and Tamiflu is being given to those people, so the onward travel hasn't continued. I'll perhaps just stop it at there and ask Fran McGrath to give an update in relation to our surveillance program.
Thank you. There was a question asked this morning, a really good question, about how it is we know what's going on with influenza in the community and how we'd know what viruses were around. There's actually an existing surveillance program that's underway continuously in the community that looks at, first of all, calls to Healthline for influenza-type conditions. It looks at the number of patient consultations in a sample of what are called sentinel general practices around the country, and it monitors those, and there's weekly reporting on both of those pieces of information. And at a public health unit level, when a case is reported, there's a thorough investigation into that case, and the information's stored in a database that's held at ESR and used for contact tracing. So that's the people consulting or the symptoms base of ongoing surveillance, a system that's been in place for over 2 years. As well as that, there's a laboratory-based surveillance system, which is that there's a systematic sampling of patients who present to sentinel general practices around the country. Swabs are taken and those are sent to ESR, and ESR tracks those during the year to see the types of influenza viruses that are circulating in the community. And those are the existing methods which are always there and in a sense act as a safety net to knowing about the patterns of influenza, including any swine flu in New Zealand communities.
But if New Zealand can't actually test for swine flu at the moment, how would they know to detect it in the general public?
In the same way as you've, in a sense, watched the identification of people who are probable cases now, so the testing goes, we test to see if it's influenza A, and if it's not, then it's clearly not swine flu. Then you can test, and our regional laboratories can test to see whether it's H1 or H5 or whatever, and if it's not H1, then it's not swine flu. And then the next step is what was done in the WHO regional laboratory, which is to sequence the DNA in the particular sample, so it's quite a small number by this stage. And I know that ESR is looking at whether they're going to be able to do that in New Zealand or when, but at this point, any samples that got to that point would still be being sent to a collaborating laboratory.
The overseas passengers, where did they come from? Can we have a few more details about where they come from, what nationality they are?
I don't have those details, nationality details, with me.
Where were they going?
I'm not sure whether Julia is in a position to be able to provide more details on those five passengers, Julia.
They were on a Qantas flight, but I don't have any more details than that. I'm sorry. We can get those for you if that would be helpful.
Just the final point to update is that this morning I indicated that officials had recommended that we should put swine flu on the list of notifiable diseases. They've got all the power, they've advised they've got all the powers that they need at the moment, but there would be benefit just in case in the future that it needed to be there. So the government today passed an order in council for non-seasonal influenza to be a notifiable disease. What that means that two levels, there is a process now for notifying swine flu, and secondly, non-seasonal influenza is now on the schedule for the Epidemic Preparedness Act. So if there's any need to escalate or to bring in that act, it's now much more straightforward if we need to. But to be quite clear, officials say they've got all powers they need at the moment. This is just a precautionary move in case it's necessary.
Can you outline the powers that would give the government if they did need to move into that response?
Into the Emergency Preparedness Act?
Yep.
The powers that could be used under the Emergency Preparedness Act, if need be.
Considerable. Most of the basic powers we have anyway, but the bill itself was more around how it impacted on other government agencies, and some are quite pedantic, if you like. Mm-hmm. They're not core to our business, they're extra. So as the Minister said, we have enough ability at the moment to act as we need to act.
But
it's not a restraint.
Would they be along the lines of the Australian ones in terms of being able to quarantine people under obligation and that sort of thing?
The really important impact of the order in council is to make this a notifiable condition, and that really helps with keeping an eye on what is happening in the community. That's very important to know what's happening so that they are tested and we can collect information on that. Look, the only sort of circumstance that, say, a medical officer of health might need the existing powers would be if somebody was having difficulty staying in home isolation while they had their 72 hours of Tamiflu. It's rarely needing to be used in New Zealand, and as we've seen with the examples of these cases, people are very sensible about it. So it's quite practical powers which have to be considered, but they're about protecting the community if somebody, for some reason, is less willing than they need to be to do that.
So we already have the powers to quarantine someone if that would be the case?
That would be available, but this makes it simpler, and the notifiability is really important.
What other differences would there be from it, obviously apart from the notification, what you just said, becoming a notifiable disease, what else would flow from that?
Well, the other thing that flows from that being a notifiable disease is it's now on the list of matters for which the Prime Minister, in consultation with the Minister of Health, could say there is a pandemic which needs the powers of the emergency pandemic legislation, which is all about community protection, impacts on governments and business, management of crowds, these sorts of things.
So basically, it will give the government more power to
deal with any of these issues. That's right. That's right. But it's solely a precautionary measure. Officials have recommended it just as a precautionary measure. They've got all the powers that they need at the moment. Just another point. Tomorrow's press conference, I hope you'd be happy with if we had it at 11, because we're wanting to get this regional data for you. We think we can get more up-to-date information for you if we had the conference at 11. And I think, by the nods, I think you'd be happy with that.
Under what circumstances would those emergency powers kick in? How much worse would it have to get before they would be used?
I think so. Declaring a public health emergency, which is we're a long way from. This is just a precaution we're taking.
Can you just explain whether the transit passengers are in Middlemore or in private accommodation?
We're at Middlemore, and accommodation is being arranged for them.
Hotels?
Whatever's appropriate.
Yeah, whatever's appropriate.
Is one of them being kept in hospital? That's what the media release says.
Earlier they were being treated in hospital, but my understanding is I think they will all be moving out to some temporary or some accommodation, arranged accommodation.
Is that your understanding, Julia?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
The whole five will be in accommodation in the outside the hospital.
Is Thorpe being given set up like a separate place for such people? Because it's likely more passengers are going to sort of be in a similar situation. Would it be obvious to have it?
We've got plans to do that, but at this stage we don't. Tend to activate them.
It's part of the epidemic preparedness action plan that the ministry is using, as they have all these
things. How you would do that? Because they've got plans to do that.
Well, we've got arrangements with hotel owners and the hotel association
to deal with that. Okay, last question.
Any more information about the passengers who were detained this morning at the airport in Auckland?
Yes, that was in our update that we issued at number 9. The 6 of those 11 passengers were treated with Tamiflu and sent home and remain in isolation, and the other 5 who went to Middlemore because they weren't Auckland locals are now being relocated to an alternative venue.
One passenger who was on NZ1 put a request in with health authorities, were told on Monday to be seen to lives with a partner who has some immune disorder and wasn't seen until today. Is that an appropriate level of care?
Well, look, Auckland Regional Public Health have been absolutely flat out following up patients all over the city and in our isolation. I'm not able to speak to individual cases other than to confirm that with the resource available, the approach has been swift and all hands have been to the deck. I'm not sure if Julia wants to comment in respect of any individual cases.
I actually couldn't hear the question. Sorry.
A case where a man who is on the NZ1 flight apparently lives with a partner who has some immune deficiency disorder and apparently put a request in to be seen on Monday but wasn't seen until today.
Well, everyone in Auckland has been contacted on Monday. We've had to prioritise people who are symptomatic over people who are not symptomatic. This is a huge exercise, tracking down people, 364 people, who many of whom gave very inadequate contact details because that's the nature of the customs declaration. So you need to understand there are a huge range of things we need to do. We are prioritising our activities, we are getting to everybody as soon as we can, and we need to prioritise people who've got symptoms, and that's what we're doing.
Finally.
But, say the 5 that were taken off this morning, if they are shown to have swine flu, will you then have to go through, through that same procedure with, the next plane load, or the New Zealanders who disembarked anyway from that plane?
The screening, the border screening, is occurring for all flights that are coming from areas that are of concern. So as we talked about this morning, in fact, across the whole country, every international flight that comes in, people get information about the swine flu situation in New Zealand. are required to report if they are symptomatic, and if they are symptomatic, then they are checked by public health folk, public health practitioners folk, sorry. And that, well, the first thing is actually checking whether they are likely to have an influenza, and then checking, just going through your suspect or probable cases and sorting out whether they do have an influenza, whether it's an influenza that might be a swine flu, and they're actually being handled in exactly the same way as all of the cases have been handled, all of the suspected or possible cases have been handled.
So the key public health messages remain: anyone who's arrived in the country having been in USA or Mexico for the last 7 days and has flu-like symptoms, please be in touch with your doctor.
Is it correct that the Minister has brought back a testing device from Melbourne for testing scan?
Can't advise you on that, haven't heard that.
Thank you. Yes, the question from Audrey was, if the passengers who came in on the flight, the Qantas flight, proved positive for influenza A as a precursor to swine flu, will we contact trace those passengers?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, that we would need to. And this time we will have the passenger locator form, so it will be a much easier exercise.
Much better. Thank you very much, Julia, in Auckland, and thank you all very much. And as I say, we're planning, without any major announcements overnight, we'll plan our next press conference at 11, because we hope to be able to provide you with more up-to-date regional information at that time. Okay, thank you.
Thanks.